Perot to the rescue. In late 1986, Jobs sent out a proposal to venture capital firms offering a 10% stake in Next for $3 million. That put a valuation on the entire company of $30 million, a number that Jobs had pulled out of thin air. Less than $7 million had gone into the company thus far, and there was little to show for it other than a neat logo and some snazzy offices. It had no revenue or products, and none on the horizon. Not surprisingly, the venture capitalists all passed on the offer to invest. There was, however, one cowboy who was dazzled. Ross Perot, the bantam Texan who had founded Electronic Data Systems and then sold it to General Motors for $2.4 billion, happened to watch a PBS documentary, The Entrepreneurs, which had a segment on Jobs and Next in November 1986. He instantly identified with Jobs and his gang, so much so that as he watched them on television, he said, "I was finishing their sentences for them." It was a line eerily similar to one Scully had often used. Perot called Jobs the next day and offered, "If you ever need an investor, call me." Jobs did indeed need one, badly, but he was careful not to show it. He waited a week before calling back. Perot sent some of his analysts to size up Next, but Jobs took care to deal directly with Perot. One of his great regrets in life, Perot later said, was that he had not bought Microsoft, or a large stake in it, when a very young Bill Gates had come to visit him in Dallas in 1979. By the time Perot called Jobs, Microsoft had just gone public with a $1 billion valuation. Perot had missed out on the opportunity to make a lot of money and have a fun adventure. He was eager not to make that mistake again. Jobs made an offer to Perot that was three times more costly than had quietly been offered to venture capitalists a few months earlier. For $20 million, Perot would get 16% of the equity in the company after Jobs put in another $5 million. That meant the company would be valued at about $126 million. But money was not a major consideration for Perot. After a meeting with Jobs, he declared that he was in. "I pick the jockeys, and the jockeys pick the horses and ride them," he told Jobs. "You guys are the ones I'm betting on, so you figure it out." Perot brought to Next something that was almost as valuable as his $20 million lifeline. He was a quotable, spirited cheerleader for the company, who could lend it an air of credibility among grown-ups. "In terms of a startup company, it's one that carries the least risk of any I've seen in 25 years in the computer industry," he told the New York Times. "We've had some sophisticated people see the hardware. It blew them away. Steve and his whole Next team are the darndest bunch of perfectionists I've ever seen." Perot also traveled in rarefied social and business circles that complemented Jobs' own. He took Jobs to a black tie dinner dance in San Francisco that Gordon and Ann Getty gave for King Juan Carlos I of Spain. When the king asked Perot whom he should meet, Perot immediately produced Jobs. They were soon engaged in what Perot later described as electric conversation, with Jobs animatedly describing the next wave in computing. At the end, the king scribbled a note and handed it to Jobs. "What happened?" Perot asked. Jobs answered, "I sold him a computer." These and other stories were incorporated into the mythologized story of Jobs that Perot told wherever he went. At a briefing at the National Press Club in Washington, he spun Jobs' life story into a Texas-sized yarn about a young man so poor he couldn't afford to go to college, working in his garage at night, playing with computer chips, which was his hobby, and his dad, who looks like a character out of a Norman Rockwell painting, comes in one day and said, "Steve, either make something you can sell or go get a job." 60 days later, in a wooden box that his dad made for him, the first Apple computer was created. and this high school graduate literally changed the world. The one phrase that was true was the one about Paul Jobs's looking like someone in a Rockwell painting. And perhaps the last phrase, the one about Jobs changing the world. Certainly Perot believed that. Like Scully, he saw himself in Jobs. "Steve's like me," Perot told the Washington Post's David Remnick. "We're weird in the same way. We're soulmates."